Hebrews 5:12 is what we want. And we've read through this a few times, but I want us to know where this spot's at in the Bible. If you're there, say, Hagar Gondola. You guys are getting good at that. I like that. Hebrews 5:12 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We start in verse 12 because it mentions the first principles of the oracles of God. Chapter 6, it's going to tell us what these are. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, so these first principles, let us go on unto perfection. He says, you should be teaching, you need strong meat. He says, so we're going to leave these doctrines of Christ, and I'm going to teach you some other things. But he lists them for us. He says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of, so he says, here's these principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's not lay the foundation again of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We looked at that last week. Secondly, of the doctrine of baptisms. And of laying on of hands, that's number 3. And of resurrection of the dead, number 4. And of eternal judgment, number 5. So we'd call these the primary principles, the first principles, the doctrine of Christ. And now we're on to number 2, the doctrine of baptisms. And we're probably going to be here for 2 or 3 weeks as we look at this, because I want us to look at these baptisms that the Bible mentions. We're looking at the doctrine of baptisms today, and the Bible speaks of more than one baptism, and we'll look at what it speaks of, and there's even others that it speaks of. I'm going to pull the 3 primary ones that are mentioned that most people would follow or would have heard, and it'll put the others in perspective that are mentioned. Jesus talks about, he asked his apostles, they wanted to sit on his right hand, and he said, well, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? So it mentions that one, but we're not really going to look at that because as we go through this study, it'll put all those in perspective. So, seeing as there's more than one baptism, what is the baptism for today? Okay, you might be thinking, well, you know, I think I know which one it is, but when you hear what other ones I'm going to talk about within Christendom, they're popular, and you're going to say, oh, well, wait a minute. Okay, is there just one baptism for today, or is there more than one even? Okay. Now, biblically, we looked at another spot where our memory verse came from. I believe there's only one baptism for today. Okay, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 says, There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. We understand that makes sense to us, right? There's one God. There's only one faith, right? Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's one baptism. I believe biblically there's only one, but what is it? Which baptism is it? Is the one baptism fire baptism? How many of you ever heard of that? Fire baptism, baptized with fire. You ever heard of that? Okay, some of you. How about this one? Spirit baptism. That's probably the one we've all heard of. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? That's the most popular, most prevalent one out there. And then what would the third one be? What do we think? What is it? The third baptism, what would it be? Water baptism. Water baptism. You know, many charismatics say the baptism for today is all 3 of them. You need to be fire baptized, spirit baptism, water baptism. Church of Christ wants to drown you 150 times. You know, they think you can lose your salvation. You get right with God, you got to get baptized again. It's a baptismal regeneration. Those that believe in the universal invisible church believe it's speaking of spirit baptism and water baptism. See, here's why when we started this whole thing, I dealt with the universal church. I hope by now you understand that the universal church is false. But to prop up the universal church, the universal invisible church, you absolutely 100% have to believe that spirit baptism is the baptism for today. You can't have that without, you can't have the universal invisible church without spirit baptism. You have to have it. But wait a minute, if the universal invisible church is false, then maybe they're wrong on baptism, which my contention is they are, and I hope to prove that to us biblically. because so many, and I'm not saying they're all lost, many of them are, but so many within Christendom, some of them are saved, I know that, but because they don't understand the primary principles we just learned right here, what they end up doing is they diminish the Lord's church. They downplay the local church, which is really the only church there is, because, and I have to say, I've explained to you before, I have to say local church because of the universal church. And they say, oh, you need to be part of the church. And you know, the church of Albuquerque. So I have to say the local church, which is the only church there is, by the way. And I think I belabored that point when I preached on that, that it has to be a local assembly. That's the only way you can assemble. But because they don't understand primary principles, they diminish the Lord's church and entrance into His church through water baptism. They diminish it. It's not that big a deal. When you look back in history, church history, and you see our brethren were getting their heads cut off, being drowned, being buried alive, because they stood for water baptism. And they wouldn't associate with the false doctrine and the false churches that taught something different. They weren't willing to do that. They weren't willing to compromise to the point they'd give their life for it. It was that important to them. We hold to, and without shame, that the one baptism is water baptism. I'm not ashamed to stand here and say that. I don't believe I'm wrong in that. And I hope I prove that to you. That's what we're going to try and do as we study this doctrine of baptisms. I believe that because most Christians believe what they're told, and they don't seriously study the Bible themselves, that they believe in this spirit baptism. Can I be honest with you? I did at one time. I believed it. That, oh, we're all, you know, the church. I used to believe that until someone taught me, until I looked at what the Bible said. So, what about these baptisms? When we look at the passages dealing with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, one of the most important things we need to notice is who is doing the baptism. And we're going to look at these passages. We're going to turn to each one of them, even though they almost all say the same thing, because I want to make a point and I want you to see something as we look at it. But let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, asking you to help give us understanding. Lord, probably what I'm going to teach today is going to be contrary to what many people in here have believed and were taught. I know it was contrary to what I believed and what I just accepted. I heard it, it sounded right, Lord, and I accepted it, and that's likely what's happened here, but I just ask you to give us understanding, help us be willing to accept your word for what it says, and be willing to follow it, Lord, and help me to be clear in my teaching, God. I really need your help. I'm asking you to fill me with your spirit, to use me, Lord, to speak through me, and those that are here, you'd fill them with your spirit, that they would have understanding as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's start by turning to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3:11. So as I said, when we look at these passages, one of the most important things we need to understand, notice, you know, take heed to, is who is doing the baptizing. Okay, because here's where they get their spirit baptism from. This is what they go to, and Lord willing, we get to it today. But what they're going to say, 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the fulfillment of what we're about to read right here. Okay, but let's read it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. All right, let me catch us up to where we're at. Verse 1 says, in those days, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's there baptizing. It says, verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So he's there baptizing, okay? And the Pharisees come, he rebukes them. He brings forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, verse 8. And he goes on and tells them some things. Verse 11, here's where we're at. So John the Baptist is there baptizing in the Jordan River. Here's what he says. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who's he talking about? Who's coming? Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one coming. So John says, I baptize you with what? What does John baptize with? Water. John's the administer.
John's the one administering the baptism, and the agent that he uses is water. So John is the one baptizing. He says, my baptism, the one I'm doing, he says, I do it with water. Okay, but let's look at this next one here, because here's where it's all taken. People don't pay attention to what the Bible says. I keep going back to this, but it's so important. This is why it's important we have an every word Bible, that we don't take words out and change things. We want an every word Bible. Look what it says here. So I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you. So who's baptizing here now? Jesus is the one baptizing here. Jesus is the one doing this. I want to get, how's it worded? This baptism with the Holy Ghost. Jesus does this. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. And yes, and with fire. We'll talk about that. That'll be another sermon when we deal with that one. But he says right here, Jesus, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So the administer of the baptism is who? Jesus. This one we're talking about now. Okay, what's the agent that they're being baptized with? The Holy Ghost. So Jesus is the one doing the baptizing, and he's baptizing with the Holy Ghost. John was the one doing the baptizing, and he was baptizing with water. So this Holy Ghost baptism, Jesus is the one that does it. That's important. All right, let's go to the next one, Mark 1:8. It's pretty much going to say the same thing, but I want us to see it. Mark 1:7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So who's the he? Jesus. And what's he baptizing with? The Holy Ghost. All right. Luke 3:16. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he, again Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Next spot, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 33. John 1, 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So again, four times we're told that who John is talking about, which we know is Jesus Christ, John's saying Jesus Christ is going to be the one which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus that does it. That's important that we remember that. Because we're talking about what is this one baptism that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4? What is this one baptism? And I may jump ahead of myself here in my notes, and I may say it again later, but let me just ask you, do any of us have the power to baptize with the Holy Ghost? No, we can't. And by the way, none of us have the power to baptize with fire. And I'll just dispel that right away. Let me just throw this out there. That fire baptism's not some second blessing or anything like that that many of the Pentecostals and Charismatics teach. That if you read it in context, that is God's judgment on unbelievers and Him throwing them in the lake of fire. It's not some special baptism that we want. Just read the Bible in context. Matthew 3, verse 11 says He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And verse 12 tells you what that fire is all about. And it's not something that you want. You don't want that fire baptism. It's not good. Again, just remember that Jesus is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. He's said to be the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus ever baptized with water. Okay, Jesus, I don't believe he did. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that he ever did. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 1, if we would. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Oh, see, he baptized more disciples than John. Wait a minute, what does it say? Though he himself baptized not, but his disciples. Jesus didn't actually do it, he had his disciples do the baptizing. Okay, what kind of baptism is it talking about right here? Water baptism. It's talking about water baptism. So Jesus, I don't believe, ever baptized anyone with water. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the question we're going to come up to is, well, when did he baptize with the Holy Ghost? Doesn't that happen at salvation? Because that's what they teach. That's what the universal church teaches, is that Holy Ghost baptism happens at salvation. So is that the one baptism John's talking about then? Well, can we do that? Can we baptize with the Holy Ghost? So then what in the world does Matthew 28:19 mean? How about 1 Corinthians 1:17? Where Paul said, hey, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. You know, Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not to baptize. But he baptized some, though. You read it in 1 Corinthians. So what's the one baptism? See, you see the problem? Are we going to believe what the Bible says? Because what the Spirit baptism, it somewhat makes sense. And that's why a lot of people follow it. But they don't look and study out the Bible and take every word for what it says. That's why I had us read through each one of those where it says that he is the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So what's the one baptism for today then? Is it the baptism with the Holy Ghost? Or is it water baptism? Or is it Spirit baptism? I hope we see that it's water baptism. I hope that's making sense to you already. But we're going to look at some more of this here and some of the arguments that they'll bring up. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anyone besides Jesus ever baptized someone with the Holy Ghost or with fire. Nor does it say that the Holy Ghost baptizes with himself. You think, what? Why would it say that? Because that's what, let's go there. We're going to get to it again, but I just want you to read it. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I just want you to see it so you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may know already, some of you may not. But here's what they're going to go to. You're going to say, wait a minute when we read this. Pastor, what you're saying doesn't fit right here. But we'll look at this whole passage here. This whole chapter, really. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Oh, see, Spirit baptism. There it is right there. What are we going to do with that? For by one Spirit. So is it telling us that the Holy Spirit baptizes with himself? He's the administer and the agent? Is that what it's saying? That doesn't even make sense. That makes no sense. But this is what you have to believe if you're going to believe in Spirit baptism the way it's taught today, with what they're teaching today. But we saw that who's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Jesus is the only one the Bible ever says baptizes with the Holy Ghost. It's a ministry unique to the Lord Christ. Therefore, because of that, the only baptism we can possibly obey is water baptism. That's the only one. We can't baptize with the Holy Ghost. We can't baptize with fire. The only one we can obey, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The only one we could obey is water baptism. That's the only way we can be obedient to the Lord, is if we obey water baptism. By the way, that's the only thing you see in the book of Acts and the church epistles is the water baptism. That's it. That's the only thing you see God's people who were ordained, which is one of those primary principles we'll talk about, but that's the only thing you see them doing is water baptism. So one baptism. The agent Jesus uses to baptize is the Holy Ghost, while the agent John uses is water. We talked about that. So when was this Holy Ghost baptism fulfilled? Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. See, I hope you're not sitting here and you're like, what? Why is Pastor so like excited about this? What is he making such a big deal about this for? Because if we don't stand on this, on these primary principles, God said in Hebrews chapter number 6, or chapter number 5, he says, if you don't understand these things, you're not even fit to teach. You're not fit to teach the Bible. You're a babe. He says, I want to give you strong meat, but you're a babe if you don't understand these things. It'll destroy the local church, as has we've seen happened. There is no respect for church attendance whatsoever in at least our country and probably the world around, there's no respect for it. Why? Because it's been diminished over and over. I've talked to so many people just, oh, I have church at my house. Well, you can't do that. You don't even know the Bible. Well, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's right. If you're praying, Jesus will be there. By the way, he's everywhere anyway. But that is a special promise he gave to believers as we gather together. He'll be there. It doesn't say it's church, though. Where's your pastors and deacons? Huh? What church did you come out of to start that church? There's no just spontaneous, just poof. I haven't seen a baby just poof pop into being. He had parents. But it has destroyed faith, faithfulness to the Lord's church and the Lord's assembly. It's just looked down on. That's why you got church hoppers just going all over the place. No commitment whatsoever. They're bouncing everywhere. Well, I'm going to go here and get this false doctrine. I'm on over here and I want some more false doctrine over here. And I want this false doctrine over here. And I'm telling you, that's what's out there. They're just jumping all over the place. And they're getting no grounding, no growth. You're not going to grow as a Christian apart from the Lord's church. I'll just tell you right now. The pillar and ground of the truth. That's the title of this whole series. We're studying the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If you want any growth as a Christian, you have got to be planted in a local church. A biblical church. And it doesn't have to be this one. I hope you choose this one. But it doesn't have to be. But if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to be grounded in a church. But this doctrine has destroyed that. So, when was the Holy Ghost baptism fulfilled? We see, again, let me ask you, who baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Okay, when was it fulfilled? We're in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So Jesus is speaking to them. All right. Let me just read verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he gives them that instruction. He says, wait for the promise. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. Well, what promise? Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then he's going to tell us what the promise was. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. There we see it again. John's the administer, water's the agent. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, who's the administer of that baptism? Jesus, right? Isn't that what it said in those four passages we read in each of the Gospels? Jesus is the administer. And what is he baptized with? The Holy Ghost. And he's saying, hey, here's the promise that I gave you back then. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He says, wait, it's coming. It's coming. And in 10 days it does come. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I believe this is when that happened. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he did it. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, he baptized them with the Holy Ghost. That's it right there. That's when he did it. And he did it to his church. It was a one-time event. It already happened. He's the one that did it. He said, I'll do it for you. There, you could argue there's one other place that he did it. You could say to the Jews right here. And remember, it's important we understand this. The book of Acts is transitional. Okay, there's some things happening in the book of Acts that don't still happen today. Why? Because God's having to, you know, some hard-headed Jews, he's saying, come on, let's get with the program here. Follow along. This thing's opened up to the Gentiles. I mean, Acts chapter 10, we can see it here. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 10 if you would. Come on in. Acts chapter 10. Verse 44 is where we want. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So you could argue and say it also happened right there for the Gentiles. And that's, you know, God's doing something. He's got having to show these Jews, hey, I'm going to open it up for you. I'm going to do it for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. It happened. That's the one time that it happened right there. He baptized his church with the Holy Ghost. Fulfilled. I tend to believe that it was fulfilled just in Acts chapter 2 because Jesus said this promise is going to come not many days hence. I believe it was fulfilled then. But if someone wanted to argue, the same thing happened in Acts chapter 10. That's up to you. You figure out what you believe on that. I believe it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. This was a one-time event for the Lord's church, and this was to empower His church to be a witness. Okay? Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. He says, I'm going to empower you to be a witness, and that's what it was for. He's empowered us to be witnesses. A one-time thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it already happened, past tense. Every believer receives the Holy Ghost, and we're going to look at all of this stuff about salvation as we study through this. I'm going to talk some about it. What does the Holy Ghost do for us? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Because there's so much confusion about that because of the charismatic movement, for the most part, has confused that. And, you know, that's why you've got, you know, holy laughter and, you know, Holy Spirit drunkenness. People are falling around on the floor acting like they're drunk because of what it says right here, that many people thought they were drunk. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine because they were filled with the Holy Ghost because they were speaking in tongues. And you've got all these perversions of what actually happened being perverted based on a few things it says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So they say, oh, that's a sign you're filled with the Spirit. And this holy laughter, it's ridiculous. It's a mockery. And Satan's hand is in all of this because it mocks Christianity. As a lost person, I remember looking at this stuff and seeing and thinking, that's, no, there ain't something right with that. That's wrong. I don't know. That's weird. To me, as a lost person, I saw that before I was even saved. What does it do? It mocks God and it mocks God's church by doing these things. And Satan's there laughing about it. I mean, he's laughing about it. Anybody ever seen that holy laughter, what I'm talking about? Some of you haven't. Look up a YouTube video. Put holy laughter. I mean, they're laughing like idiots on the floor, rolling around like idiots. I mean, anybody ever seen that Benny Hinn? You know, he's got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to throw the Holy Ghost on you. And he's got his jacket and everybody's lined up and he's just going like that. Whoom! And they're just falling down. And he just throws it like that, like he's got some power in here to baptize them with the Holy Ghost. You don't see that in the Bible. You don't see any of that in the Bible. It's almost like they make it say what they want to say. I believe this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost to empower the Lord's church. If spirit baptism is right, you know, that the teaching that once you're saved, you know, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then that's the one baptism for today. And we can do away with water baptism. But we don't have the power to baptize someone with the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism with the Holy Spirit was a one-time event that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the day of Pentecost. He told us, he says, I'm fulfilling this. Was it Acts chapter 1, verse 5? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He says, I'm going to take care of this. Not many days hence, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And we were told that Jesus was the one that was going to do that. No one else. Jesus did that. So if that's right, spirit baptism's right, then we don't need to perform water baptism, and doing so is a contradiction to the one baptism Paul spoke of. Well, what do we see Paul doing in his life? Paul was baptizing. Wait a minute, Paul, what are you, a liar? Were you lying to us, Paul? When you said in Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, were you lying to us? Why would he baptize people in water? So what he talked about. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. Hmm.
Oh man, let me see if I can find it here. I missed my reference. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 13. Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, is Christ divided? 1 Corinthians 1, 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He's talking about in this assembly. I don't know if I baptized anybody else at this church in Corinth other than those that he mentioned, Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas. Well, what's a pattern we see happening in the book of Acts? Philip runs down to the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Baptized with water. That's what we see. That's a pattern. Paul was baptized in water. And that's the pattern we see given out. They're getting baptized in water. So what is the one baptism for today? Is it that spirit baptism? Or was that already fulfilled? I think it was already fulfilled. That's what I'm saying. That's what I think the Bible teaches. It was already fulfilled. But this false doctrine of spirit baptism has to be held up as true if one's to follow a universal church teaching. You cannot have the universal church without spirit baptism. You cannot have it. If you listen to any preachers in Christendom, Christian radio, anything like that, oh, we're all one body. We're all part of the body of Christ. You know, the big C, the church. The church, just the big one. Well, it doesn't exist except in their imagination. Because the word church itself means an assembly. Well, where do we all assemble? Jesus said, go tell it to the church. How do I go tell it to the church? Who do I tell it to? You know, I liked what one preacher said. He had someone come up to him and they said, well, we like your church. We want to sing in the choir. And he says, well, where are you a member of? We're not a member of any church. You know, we believe in the universal invisible church. He said, well, you go be a member of the universal invisible choir then. Right? I mean, come on, what are you going to do? It's a local assembly. That's all there is. It's false. It's not biblical. Since the universal church is false, this doctrine can't hold true. How is it? But you have to have that doctrine if you're going to have a universal church. So how is it humanly possible for us to baptize with the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We read right here, 1 Corinthians 1, 13 to 16. Paul baptized with water. Paul's also the one that told us. He was writing this in 1 Corinthians. He told us in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What baptism is it? I hope it's clear to you. I hope you're saying, well, it's water baptism. It's got to be water baptism. I hope that's where you're at right now. I hope that makes sense. We as believers are never commanded to baptize anyone with the Holy Ghost. Never. Nowhere in the Bible you won't ever find that. So what do we make of verses that differentiate between water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost? Were the apostles confused or have we been following false doctrine? Right? If spirit baptism is true, what happens to these verses that differentiate between water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here's what the universal church is going to teach, the spirit baptism people are going to teach is, hey, be baptized in water and then be baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But that contradicts what Paul said. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So what is it? Where do we stand? Which one's it going to be? It can't be both. It can't be. This is why it's important we interpret the Bible dispensationally. Understanding the book of Acts is transitioning. Things are changing. God's doing some miraculous things to let people know, hey, I'm going to change some things a bit here. Follow with me. That's what he's doing. He's teaching us some things. Turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 12, if you would. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women.
It's water baptism there. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, wait a minute. I thought if they were, you know, saved, didn't they get that Holy Ghost baptism? Right? If that's what they're teaching. No, it was water baptism is what it's talking about. And again, Acts is a transitional book. Things are changing in it. But there, you see it differentiating between receiving the Holy Ghost, or what they call the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and water baptism. You can see it being differentiated. Turn to Acts 10:47. Peter says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" So what kind of baptism did Peter think should be happening? Water baptism, right? Water baptism. "So can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Well, according to the Spirit baptism teaching, then they're getting two baptisms. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and then getting water baptism. But Jesus fulfilled that on the day of Pentecost. He's the one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost. He did that. And it was past tense. It's already done. It's already been taken care of. There's one baptism for today. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. When where we're at right here in the God, in the Lord's God's timetable, there's one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that one baptism is water baptism. That's what you see being carried through. That spirit baptism, that being baptized with the Holy Ghost, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Does that make sense to everyone? I hope it does. I really hope it does. This, we study this doctrine of baptisms. We're going to look, we're not going to get to it today, but next week we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one spirit are ye all baptized into one body." And what is that talking about? Because that throws a wrench in the mix, doesn't it? In the gears. You're like, wait a minute, what do we do with that one? We're going to look at it. And let me just throw this out to you this week. Look at the context. Read the chapter. And look up the word especially, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. What happens by the Spirit? Think about this. Who is Paul talking to as he writes to Corinth? He's talking to a local church. It's a church that's divided. Much division in that church, much problems in that church. He's trying to unify them. Just think about those things.